time. And so I'm going to go ahead and forego the second song, and I'm going to introduce to you our brother Ronnie Gillis. He has traveled many miles to come here, and I'm anxious to hear the message which the Lord has given him to bring. So I would ask that you give him your careful and your prayerful attention as he would offer the word for this hour. Brother.
Well, I'm glad to be here today. I'm glad to see each and every one of you. I feel that I know all of you pretty well, even though I don't live here, and even though the last time I was here, I was just a little kid, came here with my mother, and one of the most memorable experiences for her, because I was a very disobedient child, and she had to carry me out of the building, and I was screaming at the top of my lungs, "No, Mommy, please don't spank me!" I don't know if you guys remember me or not, but I've heard a lot about you. Of course, Brother Ken and Marlene come down, and they tell me all the juicy gossip. But I am happy to be here, and I'm happy to know that no matter where I go, there's a body of believers that want to follow the Lord and want to worship Him with all their heart and want to do those things that are right. I've got a few things on my mind that the Lord, I believe, has placed there. And I feel comforted in what He gave me to speak on today, because I felt that our Sunday school this morning was a great lead-in to a lot of the things I want to talk about. One of the things I've seen, and I know as humans, it doesn't really matter where you are, doesn't matter what country you're in, as humans, we're all about the same. We generally speaking have the same weaknesses, the same strengths, same character traits. The outward appearance of us changes from time to time, but the inward appearance is still a human. And I've seen a lot of things in my time, especially in these last few years, that bring concern to me, bring concern to my heart for the body of Christ. One of those things that I feel today is affecting us greatly is the idea of relativity, that everything in this life is relative, that there is no firm foundation, or as we talked about this morning in the Sunday school, that there is no solid rod that we can trust on, but that everything, you know, is just kind of, well, you've got your way and I've got my way. And too often in life I see that. This morning, before we came to the church service, we were discussing with my sister a topic of some concern, and she was asking me my opinion on a situation, and it's easy for me to say there's really only one right answer, because there is. But as humans, there's so many small factors that we bring into it, and sometimes, as she was expressing, it's a problem for the body. Because as a body, we're not seeing concrete answers. We're seeing decisions that aren't always right, and it concerns us. I'd like to start today reading in the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. Book of Isaiah, chapter 2. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, "Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. For He shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. There are several things I see when I'm reading this passage. Of course, I'm seeing a lot of promise for the future. But there's several things that the Lord's bringing out to me. One of those things in verse 2 says that the mountain of the Lord will be established. And I'm looking at that word established. And when I read the word established, I'm seeing something that's firmly founded. It's not going to move. It's not going to change. We don't have to worry about it. Brings back to me those words in Daniel when it talks about the coming forth, the restoration of the church. And the Lord said that he wasn't ever going to leave it to man's hands again. What he restored was going to be here till the end. It's going to be established. It's here. It's not going to go away. It says in verse 3 that we need to walk in his paths. Far too often today, we tend to walk in our own paths. We want to do things our ways, the way that looks right to us. But it says we need to walk in his paths. For out of his kingdom comes the law. For out of his kingdom comes the word. These aren't laws that we put into place. These are laws that God has put into place. And he's an unchangeable God. And the laws apply. They apply to all of us. From time to time, I see people and they come to me with problems. And when I give them solutions to their problems, they say, well, but those things don't apply to me. The law of God applies to all of us just the same. One of my favorite verses in these five verses is verse 5. I really like it. It speaks a lot to my heart. Come ye and let us walk in the light of our Lord. I think about that, and I know that we do our best to walk in the light of the Lord, but I contemplate sometimes our life because our lives really speak more than anything we can ever say. When we live in doubt, when we live in fear, when we live in misunderstanding, far too often what I'm seeing in our lives is we're living in darkness, and that's why there's doubt and fears and misunderstandings. We're not seeing clearly. We're not seeing as we should be seeing. And he asks us, come and walk in the light. Have your eyes opened. See those things that you're not seeing. And I think that's what the Lord would like us to do. He would like us to walk in the light. And he would like us to be firmly founded in what we believe and in what we teach. Quite often today I hear people coming to me and telling me it doesn't really matter what church you go to. We all carry the Bible. We're all about the same. And I come back to him. I said, if that was true, then we'd all be meeting in the same building. But the evidence speaks differently. There are differences. And the Lord asks us to walk in his light. He is the light. And he is the only light. There is no other light. There is no other light in the world that can compare or that can bring us to the goal we want. I'd like to go to John chapter 6. Starting in verse 53. John chapter 6. I read 53 down through 66. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he at the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. When I'm reading this passage, the Lord came and he presented an idea to the disciples who are walking with him, an idea that for them, as we can see by their own words, it says, this is a hard saying, this is difficult for me. It's not what I want. It's not what I see. It's not what I feel. And he asked them, quite frankly, does this offend you? Is it offensive to you to know that there is a firm foundation that doesn't change and doesn't move? That the rules apply to each one of us exactly the same? Does that offend you? Does it offend you when the Lord asks us that we repent and be baptized? People come and say, why do I need to be baptized? Why do I need to mold my life to your standards? It's not my standards. It's the Lord's standards. And we didn't need to know that they are firm standards and they're never going to change. No matter who we are, no matter where we are, they're never going to change. They're solid. He told his disciples, the things that I'm telling you, these are the things that matter. The words that I'm talking to you, the words I'm telling you in my time, my short existence in this earth with you, are vital to your life. But it said they couldn't believe. Too much for him. And it says in 66, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I read that verse and it brings sadness to my heart, because I look across the church and I think about the time I've been in the church from a little kid, and I think about people I know today who are living who are not in the body of Christ. They came, they heard, they know, and they answered like these disciples. Who can handle what you're saying? It's a hard thing. It's difficult. The Lord said, not all of you are going to be following, because there's unbelief in your hearts. You're not believing what I'm telling you. You're believing what you want to believe. And there's no salvation in that. The only salvation that we can rely on is those words that Jesus Christ himself gave to us. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. There is a firm foundation, brothers and sisters, and I hope we can build on it. I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left to us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There's a danger in our life. And that danger is that we will come short of the end that we want, salvation. That danger, I feel, is greatest today than it's ever been in the walk of man. I read in the Matthew, and it talks about the end days being difficult and the Lord needing to shorten the time, because if he didn't, even the saints themselves might be lost. And I hear a lot of people relating to me the trials and tribulations that are about to come on the earth. And I say, you know, when I read those verses that say that it's going to be a hard time, that maybe even the saints themselves might be lost, I look at our day today and I say, boy, I tell you what, it's happening. It's right now. We're living in it. They're not putting us on the stretching rack. They're not burning us on the stake. But the day we live in is killing people right and left. Good, God-fearing people are too busy with life. Too busy with the things that they need to do. Too busy with jobs. Too busy with raising families, too busy for God. In a way, I almost wish they were burning us on the stake, because those people stood strong. They were unmovable. They were willing to stand up. Sometimes we're not willing to stand up. In the workplace, when people come to us and tell us their views on things, and well, that's okay, you can believe that way. We're not willing to stand for the one true light. We're not willing to let that light shine in our lives. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being fixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all His works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. It's a hard thing to know that there's rules that we have to abide by and follow. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would He not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his own rest, he also has ceased from his own work, as God did from His. Let us therefore labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. It's important there in verse 11, that third word. It's difficult. It's hard. We're going to have to work at it. When I think about the rod of iron, and we read the story as we were reading it this morning, and I imagine in my own mind, much as maybe Lehi saw it, a beginning of the path, a long rod along a path, and a tree at the end of this path. So often we don't visualize what's in the path. He talks about holding on to the rod, and the guarantee there is that if we hold that rod, we will get to the tree. But he doesn't talk about the difficulty that's between the beginning and the tree. The harshness of life, the trials, the tribulations that we have to overcome without letting go of the rod. Because it's only by holding on to that rod can we be assured we will reach the end. The moment we let go of the rod, those trials and tribulations overcome us. There is no rest. Oftentimes I look at people around me, people who don't go to church, I look at their lives and say, I don't think I could live your life. I don't think I could. You have no hope. You have no peace. You have no rest. My God offered us a rest. When we are obedient and when we're following that path, no matter how many trials and tribulations come, I know there's a shoulder that I can lean on. That Jesus Christ is there giving me strength. And that He'll help me along. That light is there illuminating a possibility. They don't have that light. It's all darkness. It's all misery. It's all sadness. There's no hope. But He promised us a rest. But we're going to have to labor to get it. It's difficult. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. That verse 12 speaks to me of the disciples at the time when Jesus was telling them about the sacrament. And they said it's a hard thing. It wasn't Jesus. It was the words. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp, and it bothers us sometimes. But when it does bother us, it's because the Lord's pointing out there's something in my life not right. There's something in my life not right. And that's why it's bothering me. When I come to church service and I'm listening to someone else preach, which isn't very often anymore, if the person preaching is preaching on a subject, for instance, lying, and I'm sitting in the congregation and I'm saying, this is really hard hitting. What am I really saying? I'm saying that I'm battling with lying in my own life, and that's why it's hard hitting. I've got a problem, and I need to deal with it, and God's trying to tell me that. But God has offered us a rest, and that rest exists when we're in obedience to His Word. In this life, there's no real relativity. There's only God's way. There's no other way. There's no other hope or chance that we have in this world. But that word, when it comes to us, sometimes hurts because we have problems in our life. Much like a person who has cancer and goes to a doctor. He has pain, but I'll guarantee you he's going to have more pain. But it's with a good outcome, hopefully, to remove the problem. And that's what God comes to in our lives. When we feel pain hearing the gospel, it's because He wants to remove something that's not right and give us rest and give us peace and give us comfort. It says in verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight? But all things are naked and open unto His eyes of Him with whom we have to do. There's nothing we can hide in our lives. Absolutely nothing. I tell people when we come to church, I visualize in my mind up here up front a big chest. And inside of that chest are treasures. And there's a special treasure in that chest for each one of us. And when we come here, the Lord opens that box and says, take out this treasure for you. And it's special for us. I know I've heard people say when they leave a church service, you know, the pastor knew what I was doing wrong in my life and he preached that sermon just for me. Doesn't have anything to do with the guy preaching. I can tell you that. It has to do with the Spirit that's behind it, that light that God manifests. And He wants to uncover all the bad things in our life and give us peace and rest. And He gave us that rod of iron for security that we can follow. But we can't let go of it. We can't let go of it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. He knows our difficulties. He knows our infirmities. He knows our trials and our tribulations. He's suffered just like we suffer. But we need to hold fast to our profession. And the world doesn't want us to hold fast to our profession today. It wants us to compromise. It wants us to compromise to sin. And we can't do that. Because when we compromise, we're letting go of the rod. And when we compromise, we cannot come boldly to the throne of grace and expect God to be willing to help us. Because we've got compromise in our life. I'd like to go back to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Start reading in verse 35. John chapter 12. We're going to read 35 to the end of the chapter. Then Jesus said unto him, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." The good Lord said, we've got a moment of opportunity. That moment of opportunity is different for each one of us, because I don't know that there's anyone in here can tell me the day of your death. But God's given us a moment of opportunity. Our life. It might be 20 years. It might be 50 years. We might reach 100 years. He's given us a moment. An opportunity. He says, "Yet a little while is the light with you." We have a short opportunity. Take advantage of that light. Follow the truth. Lest darkness come upon you and we fall away. He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. He's left in confusion, doubts, difficulties, doesn't know where he's going. Verse 37, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." In my life, every time I've had to go get a job, one of the first things I tell in the interview is, I can't work Sundays. If that's a determining factor in this job interview, then I just want you to know ahead of time, I can't work Sundays. Because I'm going to be in church. It's just where it's at. Too often in life, we're willing to compromise the light that we need, that is just a moment in our life. And too often, we get sucked into the darkness because, just like these Pharisees, they did not confess him. They weren't willing to stand with one hand solid on the rod. They were willing to compromise. 43, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak thereof, even the Father, said unto me, so I speak." The words that we're reading, spoken of Jesus Christ, were not his words. The commandment came from a higher authority. It's not going to change. The rod of iron is firm. We can believe it and we can follow it, or we can drift away. It breaks my heart when I see people drift away. When I see good people who do good things, that just suddenly don't have time for God. like to go to John chapter 8. I'd like to start reading in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto them, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I come and whither I go. But ye cannot tell me whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye know not me, nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus unto them again, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. The Lord came and he offered light. He offered a plan that if we would follow it, there's a guarantee at the end. That's salvation. He didn't say it was going to be easy. We have ample testimonies that it was difficult. People had to do things that they weren't comfortable doing. But if we want the end result, salvation, we've got to do it. Jesus came, he said that I'm not coming bringing my words, I'm coming bringing the Father's words. Two supreme beings, eternal. They came with one word, no deviation. One and one only path. But he told the Pharisees, you guys won't be going where I'm going because you're not understanding. You're walking in darkness. Your life is full of difficulties, doubts, and darkness, because you haven't chose to walk in the light. I go my way and you'll seek me. You'll come looking for me. One day you'll need me. But I won't be there. Because you chose not to walk in the light. That was your choice. Each one of us has a choice. Each one of us has an opportunity. What are we going to do with it? The light is here a brief moment in our lives. What are we going to do with it? I'd like to go to the Book of Mormon. 3 Nephi, chapter 4. 3 Nephi, chapter 4, starting in verse 55. And it came to pass that there came a voice again unto the people, and all the people did hear and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, which are a descendant of Jacob, yea, which are of the house of Israel, O ye people of the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and have nourished you, and again, how oft would I have gathered you, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings? Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel which have fallen, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that have dwelt at Jerusalem, as ye that have fallen, yea, how oft would I have gathered you, as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how oft will I gather you, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. If you would repent and return unto me with full purpose of heart. But if not, O house of Israel, the place of your dwelling shall become desolate unto the time of the fulfilling of the covenant of your fathers. When I'm reading these verses, I see three different things. I see the Lord coming and saying, you know, I have taken care of you. I see Him saying, I'd like to continue taking care of you. I will take care of you in the future if you let me. But He says it's your choice. It's your choice. He'd like to gather us as a hen gathers her chickens. He'd like to give us rest. He'd like to resolve all of our problems for us. He'd like to give us strength for the burdens that we must carry. He'd like to take us by the hand and walk with us on that path. But He says, but if not, in other words, it's your choice. Each one of us have to make a decision. We decide to walk in the light. We decide to follow the commandments, even though they may be difficult at times. Or we decide not to. That's the choice each one of us has to make. And we are the ones who will have to support the consequences of that choice. Jesus came and offered us everything we need to make a good decision. And He wants to help us. But it's up to us if we want that. Chapter 5, starting in verse 9. He lays out for us a simple plan. It's really not complicated. At least not as complicated as we'd like to make it out to be sometimes. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up towards heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven. And he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him. And they durst not open their mouth, even one to another. And they wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spoke unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of which the prophets testified, that should come into the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world. And I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. He is the light and the way. He showed us with His own example everything we need to do. And it wasn't easy for Him. He says in verse 12, I have suffered too, just as you might suffer. But that's the choice we make in following Jesus Christ. When I read the New Testament and study the life of Jesus Christ, I don't see a life that was easy. I don't see a life that wasn't fraught with trials and tribulations and difficulty. I see a lot of difficulty. And sometimes, as we see when Jesus was in the garden praying at the rock, that difficulty is overwhelming. But He said, I've done this for you so that you can have an opportunity, a chance. Verse 13, and it came to pass that when Jesus had spoke these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth. For they remembered that it hath been prophesied among them that Christ should show Himself unto them after His ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust in your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel, and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. I'm looking at that and I'm saying, you know, more than once in my life, God has told me the exact same words. And I know, more than once in your life, God's told you the exact same words. You may not have heard them like that, But that's what he was doing. I remember not too many years back, a neighbor of ours, they came over, their son, teenager, had taken a couple pills that they sell down there for curing beans, and had swallowed them in an act to commit suicide. There is no remedy. The doctor that attended the young man said he's attended 100 cases. Every one of them had the same results but one, which was just a little girl who no more put it on her tongue and then threw up. And even she suffered dire consequences. The family came over at the time. Brother Ken was in Honduras. Don McIndoe was in Honduras. Placido was in Honduras. They said, "We would like you to take our child to the hospital. The poison, when it gets into your sin, begins to rupture your system from the inside out. Your internal organs break down. When they came to us, he was already vomiting up blood. In all human terms, there was no chance for survival. My parents loaded him up in the vehicle and took him into the hospital. When they got to the emergency room, they took him out. The doctor came over, took his pressure, his pulse, said he's got no blood pressure. He has no pulse. He looked at the family and said, "Only thing left is to go buy the casket." At the time, my mother stepped out and asked the ministry if they would come in and pray for him. And they did. Laid hands on him and prayed for him. A dead man. Don McIndoe looked the young man in his eyes and said, "Can you hear me?" And he opened his eyes. The family wanted the hospital there to do something. The hospital refused. They went to the driver of the ambulance and said, "Will you take him into the hospital in the capital?" The ambulance driver looked at him, looked at the doctor, and said, "Why? This isn't a case where I might be able to save a life. The doctor's already determined that what he took, it's inevitable. There's no chance here. But there may be coming someone behind you who could really use an ambulance, and I might be able to save their life. I'm not going to take you." So my parents loaded him up into their vehicle, and they drove into the Capitol. About an hour and a half drive away. When they arrived at the hospital, the main hospital in the Capitol, the young man got out of the vehicle walking. Went into the hospital. This is several years ago. He's alive and well today. Holds down a steady job. And has no side effects. I'm looking at these words, "Arise and come forth unto me, that you may thrust your hands into my side, and also feel the prints of the nails." There's doubt in our life, and Jesus has come to us to remove that doubt with multitudes of examples so that we don't doubt, so that we know there is only one way. I have no doubts because it wasn't just once that I've seen similar things. Many times when the odds, the scientific odds, were against us and the end should have been a guarantee, but it wasn't. God stepped in and said, "Let me prove to you that I am real and alive so that you'll trust me, so that you'll follow those rules I put before you, so that you won't doubt in your life, so that you won't drift off into that darkness and be destroyed." that ye may know I am the God of Israel. There is only one path. There is only one bar of iron. Verse 15, and it came to pass that the multitude went forth and did thrust their hands into his side and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and in their feet. And this they did do, going forth one by one until they had all gone forth, and did see with their eyes and did feel with their hands and did know of a surety and did bear record that he that it was he of whom it was written by the prophets that should come. And it came to pass that when they had all gone forth and had witnessed for themselves, they did cry out with one accord, saying, Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Most High God. And they did fall down and worship at the feet of Jesus. And they did fall down at the feet of Jesus and did worship him. My hope is that every one of us will be able to do the same. That there'll come a point in our life that we will know of an assurity that our God lives. That we'll know of an assurity that there's only one path. That we'll know of a surety that there's no other way to get to heaven. And that we'll be able to bear record of it. That we'll be able to share it, that light of Jesus Christ. That we'll be able to give it to other people. And that by our lives they'll know. Just as these knew by touching, that others may touch our lives and know of a surety. There's something in your life that's real and we can see it. And we want it. God's offered us to give us a rest, given us an opportunity. He's given us a choice. And that's where we stand today with that choice in front of us. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Thank you for your time this morning.